The European Central Bank is almost ramming $90 billion down Ireland's throat to help bail out its failing banks and save other financial hides at the same time. But it also comes with rules about future bailouts starting in the year 2013. Are they kidding? Once you signal you'll do a bailout, aren't all bets off? To our Freedom Fighters, Fox Business Network anchor, and my friend David Asman, Reason Magazine senior editor Catherine Mangu Ward, and radio talk show host Nancy Skinner. David, to you first. Who is really bailing out whom?
Well, the Irish aren't getting a bailout. The bondholders of Irish debt are getting a bailout. In other words, these big banks, once again, the people are forced to pay off the big guys, the rich bankers and the bondholders. Most people don't have Irish bonds. How many people do you know have Irish bonds in their portfolio? It's the rich banks that are getting the bailout, not the Irish people.
It is not the Irish people, and it is not the Irish government that is being saved here, right?
Sure, it's just little fish being eaten by bigger and bigger fish and this sort of horrible cascade of moral hazard. I think for the United States, you know, we should be aware that we don't necessarily have a bigger fish to eat us when the time comes.
Hey, Nancy, are we paying for any of this since we never really know what the Fed is doing?
Who knows? But I'll tell you what, Ireland has been the example of what not to do, because they were, Heritage magazine called them the freest economy in the world. They deregulated all the banking sector. Then they guaranteed every bad debt of all the banks. And now, look who's on the hook. Now, to make it worse, they are raising taxes and cutting spending to try and rein it in.
Wouldn't it be
so
better?
It's the worst, as Paul Krugman pointed out. It is the worst possible example to have followed. And it looks like, with the election of our new Congress, we might be doing exactly what the Irish
Paul Krugman wants to raise taxes.
Of course.
And what's happening here is that the people of Ireland, because they have this value-added tax that some people want to impose on us,
sneaky sales tax.
They're raising the value-added tax, so the people who can least afford it are going to be bailing out the rich bankers.
What would happen if the government did nothing? Shouldn't these banks that engaged in their own mismanagement, as Nancy said, guaranteed bad debts, shouldn't they go under because they did that? Why should taxpayers bail them out?
I think you're exactly right about that. And the fact that we've gone from holding up Ireland as an example of sort of rampant deregulation, and that now people are saying that's what's causing this problem, totally misses the point. What's happening now is government action hurting taxpayers.
Nancy, and I don't want to pick a fight with you if there's no fight to pick, but should the Irish government be doing this? You just very articulately blasted the mismanagement of the Irish banks, and we agree with you. So why should the Irish taxpayers bail out the mismanaged Irish banks?
Well, because we guarantee a certain amount. When you put your money in a bank here in the United States, it's $250,000. So you can't let them fail and then have what we had in the Depression, which was a run on banks. But you, on the other hand, Judge, you can't let them play and gamble in exotic instruments. They have to be regulated. In my opinion, there has to be firewalls. Money that is taxpayers' money cannot be gambled with.
But the only reason they gamble, Judge, they gamble over there and they gamble here is because they know they're going to get a bailout.
Precisely. And doesn't one bailout lead to another? I mean, what Irish banker won't gamble again because he or she knows there'd be another bailout in the future?
Asking bankers not to gamble is like asking sailors not to swear. It's not going to happen.
Nancy, aren't we on a slippery slope here?
The Volcker rule has done just that. Banks can no longer gamble with SDIC and FDIC.
Oh, they can, Nancy,
deposits.
They can still get bailouts from the Federal Reserve. That's the point. As long as that pipeline is available from the Federal Reserve to these risky Wall Street, I'm not talking about old-fashioned banks that just take deposits and home mortgages. I'm talking about the fancy Wall Street guys who suddenly call themselves the banks and have access to the Federal Reserve funds.
Right. Is there an end to
That's
this?
That's what financial deregulation was all about.
No, blame it on financial deregulation. There's
they
no
had
financial
to put money
deregulation.
In a pot
the
to
banks
bail
are the most regulated
out.
Industry. The banks
Bingo.
Are the most regulated industry we have, Nancy. You know that.
And they should be. And they should be.
All right. We'll get back with this in just a moment. I want you guys to stick around during the break. Do you think a Republican in the White House would change the disastrous economic decisions coming out of Washington? Our freedom fighters say, even Nancy, think again. As the president prepares to meet with congressional leaders from both parties tomorrow about what to do about the Bush tax cuts that are set to expire, many are asking the question if we are better off today than we were 4 years ago. In that time, we've had a Republican and a Democrat in the White House for almost an equal amount of time. So does it matter who's in charge when the same sorts of economic decisions are made by both parties? Back with our freedom fighters, Catherine Mangu Ward, David Asman, and Nancy Skinner. Nancy, to you first. Let's see. In 2006, unemployment was 4.5%. It's now 9.5%. Food stamps, 26 million, now 42 million. Bad banks, 47. Last week, the federal government identified 860 banks it thinks will go under. Are we better off now, or were we better off 4 years ago?
We were better off 8 years ago. And if you look at the record, it was clear. George Bush inherited a surplus of $290 billion. Bill Clinton created 22 million new jobs because the philosophies are different. Then Republicans came in, cut taxes, just that's deregulate and cut taxes. And Reagan did the same thing.
Wait a minute, Bill Clinton cut taxes too.
You're comparing apples and oranges here. I'm suggesting to you that George Bush made some of the same decisions as Barack Obama, TARP and stimulus. Borrow from the Chinese to stimulate the economy, and it doesn't work. It didn't work then. Why are we still doing it?
It doesn't work. I mean, the fact is that whenever the government has more power, the people are worse off. The reason we are the most creative economy in the world is because the government has less influence than it does elsewhere. Although I'm beginning to wonder now, you look at how government has grown over the past. When Nancy Pelosi took power in January 2007, right, we had a debt of $8 trillion. It's now $14 trillion. That's a 40% increase since she's been in power.
I have argued on this show and elsewhere that we really have one political party, the big government party. It has a Democratic wing and a Republican wing. The Democratic wing likes deficits and assaults on civil liberty and assaults on commercial liberties. The Republican wing likes deficits, assaults on civil liberties. The Democrats like taxes. They both like war. Does it matter who's in the White House?
The only thing I disagree with you on is I think there's not that much difference between the wings. I mean, I think you're seeing even more difference than there is. It's monolithic. You're never going to see change. And the fact is that something like the Tea Party is emerging just shows how futile it is to hope for that.
If John Kerry had won in 2004, would you have been surprised, Nancy Skinner, with the bailout of General Motors, with TARP, and with the first two rounds of stimulus packages that were proposed by George Bush and his Republican Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson?
George Bush started TARP, and he allowed for the first leg of bailouts,
right,
but then the details had to be worked out by Obama, and it has worked. TARP has been repaid. We made money. General Motors is coming out with the Volt. You can't even buy one. The demand is so high. 260 miles per gallon on this.
Nancy,
these
I love
were
you.
Good decisions.
I love you, Nancy. How could anybody say that TARP and the stimulus packages have worked? We're in the worst economic
they
status
are.
Now.
We were losing 700,000 jobs a month, Judge.
Go ahead, Catherine.
And now we're gaining private sector jobs.
The unemployment rate is nearly 10%.
We were in such
a ditch.
And the growth of private sector jobs, you know, as much as we'd like to see it, it's public sector that's growing, and we're just going to see more and more of that. Government gets bigger,
and
private sector gets smaller.
By the way, before TARP, there was the end of the Glass-Steagall Act, where we allowed the Federal Reserve to bail out the Wall Street banking houses. Nancy, that was done under President Clinton. It was not done under a Republican. It was done under a Democrat by his Democratic Treasury Secretary. So that's really where it began, I
think.
There's the argument, Nancy.
You're right, Judge. And I was on the radio saying this is the worst possible thing Clinton could have ever done because we learned from the Depression that we had firewalls and they were gambling with our money.
Bill Clinton, George Bush, Barack Obama, they all belong to the same school of economics, which is that central planning produces prosperity. History teaches us that central planning produces poverty. Only individual initiative and freedom produces prosperity.
And we should not have an institution that
like
is called
Ireland.
Private, but that works very closely with the Treasury, like the Federal Reserve, to bail out the people that make risky bets.
Skinner, Mangu Ward, Asman, thanks very much for joining us. Very lively gathering.